So here's what I think we'll do. I'm throwing the little curveball to the audience, to the candidates. While we're sort of waiting for salads to get cleared away and main courses to be served, up here anyway, we're going to have the candidates give an opening statement, not more than 2 minutes. Then we'll have a little more of a break, and then so they can eat a little bit, and then we will come back for questions, which will all be 1 minute each. So you can speak up to 2 minutes. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. And I'm going to start down my far right end with our presidential candidate, which is Judy Wilkinson, and I'm going to pass the mic down to her. You cannot hear me? Is that better? Okay. So you're going to have to eat the mic, candidates. We have speaker issues. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that or not. I'll have to consult with the sound men. What? Where are they? Do we know?
I can find somebody. Whoever set it up.
They might be in the other room.
Okay, I'll go check.
Okay. We're going to look for a potential fixer. Literally, the Marines are coming. Actually have come. And they are looking for someone to fix the problem. As David Bowie would have put it, Major Tom to ground control. So you guys still can't hear in the back? I know they haven't, but I don't know whether... I don't think I want to cause a stampede. So is it still hard to hear people? Is that better? Okay, we're going to get started and see how it works. Okay, I'm going to hand this down to Judy.
Can everybody hear me? I'll back up a little bit. Is that better? Is that good? Okay. I think our convention motto is a wonderful one. I've just blanked out on it. Believe it and achieve it. So I've just demonstrated the first thing that's going to happen if I'm elected president. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. I have a huge learning curve. And I blotted out that memory and got it back. And I plan to do a lot of correcting of mistakes and learning and growing. But I think anyone who has met me this week or in the last 4 or 5 years since I've been fully active back with CCB knows that I'm committed, I'm energetic, I have a lot of activities that I have experience with. And as I step back from those experiences, I look forward to standing on the larger platform of serving not just 4 affiliates as I do now, but 37, 30, 52, whatever. So that is going to be what's going to happen. If I'm elected, I'll be learning. I'll be learning along with you. You'll be learning along with me. I probably have a very different management style from the previous 2 presidents. We'll have to get used to each other. But you know, believe it, and we can achieve it. Thank you.
She did.
Okay, my name is Charlene Ornelas. I'm running for the position of a member of the board. I've been a member of CCB since 1983. I've had a long history of blindness and the importance of access and trying to make the world a better place, not just for blind people, but everybody. I think there's a lot that is out there that needs to be done, one of which is to educate people to the benefits of you can get as a blind person, also that a blind person can do. So people who are newly blinded or being told by doctors they're blind need to be reached, and that's something I would like to see the CCB doing, is an outreach to people who are newly blinded so they can get some direction and some help besides finding out your world's changing, go home and learn how to live with it, because there's a lot of living that can be done. I'm also a person that likes to look at a situation and weigh the points, see which is the best decision to make, and try to make the best decision for the majority and not just a minority or a few people. So that's one thing I would pledge, is that if I'm elected as a director, I will represent the majority and not try to lean towards any one special group. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Pass along to Pat.
Thank you.
Good evening. It's Patricia Bogard. I'm running for a member of the board. I'm currently the president of the San Diego Braille Club, and I believe that we're all here to serve each other, to serve the public, and set an example to the public and to each other about vision loss and represent the blind community. I also represent the deaf-blind community. So I volunteer for a lot of things, and I believe in what this organization does, how well it does it, and I'm looking forward to adding whatever I can to the board and to the club. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Paul Patchy Jr. I am a current board member. I am seeking to be reelected for my current seat on the board. I'm a former president of my local chapter and current treasurer. You know, I really believe in what this organization stands for, and as of this morning, I hunted down Peter Pardini and paid my life membership dues. That's how much I believe in this organization. And I want to continue to, you know, be a voice for the entire membership. Anything that, you know, the membership feels we should be addressing, you know, if enough people raise those concerns, we'll address that, and I want to continue to be part of this process for everyone. Thank you.
I'm Frank Welty, and I'm running for the position of first vice president. I am currently the president of the San Francisco chapter of CCB, and I have been a president or an officer of four chapters in the Bay Area over my 20 some odd years of activity in the council, and so I have gained a lot of experience and understanding of the council and how it works and how it can work. My main focus in terms of my personal emphasis as an officer of CCB is going to be on the area of fundraising and leadership development, particularly because we are a grassroots organization and we are as strong as our individual chapters and our individual members. And I hope that I will be able to help each of you develop leadership qualities that will allow you to be more effective in your communities and thereby making the whole CCB stronger.
Good evening. My name is Gail Crossan. I am totally amazed by even being up here, but I've been honored with a nomination for the board. Upon my retirement from state service 5 years ago, I was free to become active in CCB Orange County and other activities, and found, yeah, I started out by thinking what possibly I could, how I could develop myself personally and get some technology updates. And also that I found my way to Orange County Braille Institute. And what I found in both of these groups were an amazing group of people with tremendous experience, expertise. It simply boggles my mind to see what everybody has done and is doing and looks to do. I would love to be more involved in outreach. I'm already working in as a volunteer in working with newly blinded, and I certainly can relate to what they're saying. They're coming. There's millions of them, I'm afraid, and they're not that well served, because they usually walk out the doctor's office with the news you're going to be blind and abandon hope and go to Braille Institute. When you get there, it's a totally different thing, just as CCB is. And I, in my state service, I learned to work with and develop teams. We just can't go anywhere without working together. But with all of us working with our strengths and developing ourselves and the organization as we go along, there's nothing we can't achieve if we decide to do it and believe. I've seen it already. It's just amazing what you've managed to do up to now. And it's just a privilege to be part of it in whatever small way I may be of service to you. Thank you very much.
This is Peter Pardini. I'm running for my fourth term as treasurer of the California Council of the Blind. Basically, I want to serve the council in the following ways. We really need to increase our fundraising activities, and I'm really looking forward to working with all the members of the board on seeing what we can do to increase funding to this organization. This is a valuable organization, and we provide a lot of valuable services to our members and to the general public. I also want to, another one of my goals in my last 2 years, if elected as treasurer, is to improve the ways that CCB can operate as a business. We have a budget of over $100,000 revenue, and we really need to start increasing the ways that we operate as a business. It's not just a social organization. It's a business that provides valuable services to its members and to the general public. And I hope that you elect me as treasurer for my fourth term. Thank you. Jeff, where do you want the mic?
Thank you, sir.
I think what we'll do is give 10 minutes for people to eat up here a little bit. Hopefully you've gotten some food, right? And at 6 o'clock on the dot, I will begin with the first question. And we have a mic runner, Matthias, one of our Marine volunteers. Let's hear it for the Marines and for Matthias. He is going to be our mic runner to the audience for questions. So we'll give 10 minutes and then we'll charge right in, because I don't want to wait any longer than that. All right, we're going to get started here, so because we only have a limited amount of time. So I'm going to take the presidential prerogative, the last presidential prerogative I'm going to take, ask the first question. And I'll ask it, and this time we're going to start down at the far end, so we'll pass it all the way down to Peter and come on down. And I want to know what you feel is the number one priority in the next year, and what specifically you are going to, what specific work you are going to do to further dealing, to further handling that priority. So, to rephrase it, what is the number one priority for CCB in the next year, and what specific work are you going to do on that priority? So we'll hand it down, and we have, we'll give it down to Peter, and he
I think he just took it.
Thank you, Jeff. Basically, I think the first priority of CCB is to get additional fundraising into the organization. The first step in this that we can work on, that's been approved by the board, and I will do everything that I can, is to help implement the hiring of an executive director. By doing so, this person really needs to concentrate on means to get additional funds into the organization. For the past number of years, we have been running a deficit budget, and we really can't continue to do that. But he's going to need a lot of assistance, and the board of directors, everyone on the board, and all the members need to support him and do what they can to help him out. Thank you.
This is a major issue, of course, because if you don't know where you're going, you have no idea how to get there. I have watched so many newly blinded people come in and people that, for whatever reason, have never been connected with any blind service organization, and I think that there's a great role for CCB to play in engaging, to provide bridging services, if you please, assistance to families, and in the process of that, we can develop revenue streams because they will see that these services are valuable and want to participate in providing them to others if they can. And certainly there's a tremendous talent pool out there that just feels like the world has ended, that they don't know how to go about finding their way to from the front door to the kitchen, let alone what to do with themselves. So I'd like to engage these people, and that would be through a lot of out service, maybe some contacts, maybe even some, for those that are able to use them, some off site computer meetings and so forth, instead of all of it being face to face.
Well, Frank, it's yours.
I completely agree with Peter that fundraising has got to be our top priority so that we can wipe out these budget deficits we've been dealing with. Along those lines, it is my intent to redouble my efforts in my roles in fundraising in this organization, and also to continue to work on leadership training in order to empower more of you here in this room and people back in your chapters to have the skills, the organizational and leadership skills that you need to have more of so that your chapters can be stronger, and as you get stronger, we'll get stronger.
This is Paul. So one of the priorities, you know, in my point of view, as one of the youngest members of CCB, is to bring in youth. You bring in some more youth leaders of tomorrow. So that is a definite focus. We need to work on how do we draw in the youth, creating activities or events in some way to draw them into our organization and help develop them, so we have a strong, lasting organization for the future. Thank you.
It's Pat Bogard speaking. What I would bring to the organization is energy. And I agree with fundraising. It seems like it big priority. And what I can most contribute is pass me the ball and I'll run with it. Just tell me which direction. So that's basically, I belong to several organizations. I sit on different committees, different boards. But it's just the energy to bring to the organization. Thank you.
This is Charlene Ornelas. I see two things that are a high priority. Both of them have been brought up. The first one is fundraising. And one of the things that I would want to do is look outside of the box of getting fundraising. There's other organizations. The Lions Clubs do an awful lot for the blind and have done a lot for this organization. There are other service organizations. I think of the Shriners as one possibility, that those are some of the places to look for. Also towards conventions and conferences, looking for sponsorships. And I would like to work towards getting sponsorships for our major programs and for our conventions to make it easier. The other part is to get newer, younger members. I look back, and there's not a lot of young people following behind me. This happens in a lot of areas. And I think we need to get into the colleges, the junior colleges, the state colleges, and start recruiting those individuals and start getting a program that they would be enjoying to get them to come.
This is Judy. Second verse, same as the first. Fundraising is the key. But as you know from reading my candidates page, I go a step further because I say, despite how little money we have, we may need to spend some of it. We need to, yes, hire the executive director. That is going to happen. I look to also hire some administrative assistants for that person. We don't have that in the budget at the moment. And I hope to convince the board that we need to have it in the budget during this next year. But we have to bring the money in to help offset that kind of expense. I will totally support all of our fundraising efforts and look to have the committee, the fundraising committee, do some work. We can't say, oh, we've got an executive director. Now we don't have to think about fundraising again because that's her job. No, we can't do that. We have to allow her to help us find money, but he may not be able to find it all. So we need some assistance so that that person can devote full time to what we're paying them extra money for. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Matthias, pick our first. You have your hands up. You can put them down during the question, but... hold on, Matthias is going to pick.
Very loud hand.
Yeah.
I like you. Hello, you guys. My question to the board is this. When you are given a task and you have a hard time completing it, would you ask for help to complete that task, or would you just step around that task and step to something else? Because there are some things that we really don't like to do, but we need to make sure those tasks are completed to take the next step to the next task. So I just want to know what you guys would do if you were given a task, and if you couldn't complete it, would you ask for help, or would you step around it?
Okay, we're going to go from Pat down to Peter, and then we're going to go back to my right.
This is Pat speaking. Is that loud enough? I think the mark of a great leader is to find help where you need it and surround yourself with people that know or know how to find people that know. I don't think any one person ever does it by themselves. And asking questions is a great asset.
This is Paul. Depending on the task, but absolutely, I would never step around a task. You ignore a task, and it becomes a bigger problem. So it's always something you need to address. And looking at the table here with the candidates, I know there's plenty of people here to support and make sure that task is accomplished. Because if there wasn't people up here, I'd be the only candidate, and then we would have that problem. But we have plenty of people up here to support each other and make it the best possible solution.
This is Frank, and I agree with what Judy and Paul have said, but I'm going to add one other thing, is that one other thing, that, along with being willing to ask for help when I need it, is that if I treat my fellow board members, my fellow officers, and all of you with respect, then I'm putting you in a position where you can ask me for help without being worried about getting your head bit off for asking. So I think that that's where I can help right there, is just being open and supportive along with my following through on my responsibilities.
This is Gail speaking, and I fully concur with what I'm hearing so far. But perhaps one thing that we could save ourselves, if we're in a situation where we're already behind, that certainly then we have to pull it together and reorganize the team that is working on it and call in whoever we need to if, to the point we can. But we might be able to save ourselves a lot of this grief if the persons that are working on this thing have a much clearer timeline, knows things that you're starting to veer off the road before you end up in the ditch. Maybe at that point we could intervene earlier and cut down some of this all hands on deck. And we've all been there and would be there again if it comes to that, but let's see if we can't stay out of the guardrails before we end up in the ditch and increase the communication and, yes, the safety. If somebody needs help or somebody suspects that there might be something that we could do to help them, let's be safe and go ahead and discuss it with respect and collegiality.
This is Peter, and I agree with everything that's been said. One thing that I think we can do, that the board needs to do, is develop a master task list so that we're all informed on what's going on, what are the major goals, have we accomplished this goal, what are the issues that we need to resolve, and as part of this task list, I need help with these items. But I think we really need to, and to keep everybody connected, we need to come up with a means to come up with a master task list that we can keep track of everything that's going on in CCB at the board level. Thank you.
Okay.
The answer is, this is Charlene, I guess, if I need help, I am not against asking for it. I believe in including other people in getting things done. Not having a one-man show or one-person show. I believe everybody working together will be a much stronger task force. I believe in doing what I've been asked to do, but when it comes down to it's not happening, then it's time to bring out the troops and get some people to back you up and do some of the rest of the work. Thank you.
I'm learning to be such a politician because I'm going to suggest that I would do both. I have, 1,000 people that I'm going to get to help me, all of the members, all of us members of the CCB. I'm coming after you. I'm going to get those rosters and get those names. And so I really do expect committees. I want to see fully functioned committees. I want to see people involved who have not been involved recently come back, to the raft, huck honey, as the novel says. But you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And there are times I think that we spend too much energy on things that may not be the best use of our time. And it's too bad sometimes that happens, but I would look sometimes at folding them.
All right. Next question, Matthias.
Thank you so much. Hi, this is Margie. And first of all, I want to commend all of you for being courageous enough to run. I do have a question, however. Most of you talked about fundraising being a top priority. Well, our top fundraiser in our organization is Muttstrut. When Muttstrut started, we had a team in the Bay Area, a team in Sacramento, and we have several chapters in the Bay Area, a team in Sacramento with one chapter, and a team in LA with several chapters. So those of you that are running from the Bay Area, what would you do to ensure that you guys are participating in Muttstrut? And those of you in the San Diego area, why haven't you participated? Why haven't you created one down here? I think we have to have all chapters involved. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to start out right with Charlene.
How interesting. Margie, we did try to start one in San Diego. Unfortunately, we do have but two chapters here. And as I said, if I can't do something, I would look to get other people to assist me. And I looked, and I was not finding other people to assist. I was not finding vice chairs. I was not finding people who would fill positions. And there was no way I could put on that kind of, I could direct it, but I can't do it myself, recognized it. And we started it. I did a lot of research on location, timing companies, and a variety of other things, but there wasn't enough people to help support me, and rather than fail and have something look really bad, lose money, we pulled out.
Judy? It's important to support the fundraisers of the organization, but of course we're going to be looking for other fundraisers. I like the concept of having the sort of the not universal walker. What's the word I'm looking for? Virtual walker. And I think that's a nice concept, and we might. I'm going to take full advantage of promoting that idea this year. But I will also, when you wear a different hat, things are different. And if in fact after May 15th we do have the Muttstrut, I will support it totally. I will be there. And as I say, I think this virtual, I'm one of the first people who did a virtual walk for the Muttstrut in London. And I think that's a great idea. And that is what I plan to do, Margie.
All right. Come down this way. We come next to Pat.
I do like the idea of the virtual walk. I also have a guide dog. And as far as resources in the San Diego area, we found a great group of college students, sororities that like to volunteer to help out the visually impaired. And also, there's even the San Diego Braille Club could really get involved in that. So as far as something in San Diego, those ideas just came to my mind as we were sitting here, and I think I could come up with a few more.
Well, I can tell you that I am going to be, I understand that the goal is to have the LA Muttstrut on November 19th, and I plan to be there. Also, so that's your first person right there, Donna. I would, that's right, I'm number two, okay. But I will be delighted if other communities are in a position to organize Mutt-Strut fundraisers in the future. I do think, though, that we would benefit from giving local organizations opportunities to grow their own fundraisers, because different communities have different styles. For example, I'm guessing that a Mutt-Strut would be a problem if you're way up in Humboldt, but there's probably an event that the folks in Humboldt could put together that would be really terrific, and it would work in that community. And I think we need to encourage that kind of diversity and creativity where local chapters can get together and do things, even if it doesn't look like a Mutt-Strut.
I must admit that the Mutt-Struts that occurred in L.A. simply happened in situations where I was not available to get there for medical reasons or whatever. Certainly, you'd love to see statewide activities like that, but sometimes perhaps we were a little overextended. That perhaps a little less centralized might have been helpful, although people worked really hard, and I'm not wanting to criticize anything that was done. We just learned from the experience. And virtuals, a lot of things have gone very well. This may be the way to solve a lot of things, because that way the distance and the transportation and all that stuff may not be an issue at all. And for that, we need to look into something like that, and very well done. For the virtuals.
Basically, this is Peter. One way that we can increase the fundraising activities of the California Council of the Blind is to ask and expect that chapters will help out with some events. It is, CCB is a family, and we all need to work together to do fundraising. It can't just be done by a small group of people. So I would encourage everyone to help support fundraising activities and to suggest, talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to anybody, but suggest fundraising activities that CCB can get behind and raise valuable funds for this organization. Thank you.
Next question. There's far more questions than we'll have time for, so some of you will be happy and some of you won't.
Hello. This is a question for the people who are running for officer positions. Many of us in this organization extend ourselves. Do I need to say it again? And what winds up happening is we don't put enough time into some of the more important things. I want to know, especially from the officers who are very, very busy people, what will you do to concentrate on your job?
Now I'm going to ask Judy first, and then we'll get down to the three at the other end.
I'm dropping hats like crazy, Vita. That's all I can say is that I will basically, if elected, concentrate my time on one job and one job only. End of statement.
Okay, that's a great question. And at this point, it is my intent. No, I'm not dodging it. At this point, it is my intent to continue in my current position as the president of the San Francisco chapter. However, in the future, when it comes time for me to be for that position to be up for election, I will take a serious look at how I am using my time And if I'm seeing that at that time I'm still overextended, then I will relinquish that position in order to focus entirely on my position as first vice president. And I will not take up other positions outside of CCB beyond my... But essentially, I'm going to have five things: my family, my work, my church, my chapter, and CCB in one position there. So, and I'm going to constantly look at how I'm using my time, and if I need to cut back somewhere, I will.
Happily, I have dropped... This is Gail. I've dropped several organizational connections recently because I realized that I just can't be everywhere and everything that I might like to do. This seems to be a very long-term and worthwhile goal to help develop this organization. And in whatever capacity that is possible for me, I will be delighted to do it. I currently do not hold any offices in the Orange County chapter. They're not even aware this is going on unless... You know, something was going on in the background, I don't know. But in any case, I need to focus on this and the church and developing my own skills, both technically and looking forward to growing and being mentored by many of these lovely people I'm meeting here and offering whatever services I can too.
This is Peter, and basically... It's a good question. I really need to look at all the activities that I'm involved in. I would like to, I am planning to stay connected with my church, and since I'm treasurer for the state organization, I may have to drop some of the local, helping the chapter out, the local San Francisco chapter out in its efforts, but I really want to do what I can to help CCB. But I think it's very important that we need to really reach out to our membership, too, to help out. It just can't be, we can't do everything. The board can't do everything. CCB's a family. We all need to work together to improve CCB. Thank you.
Go for the next question.
In view of the universal recognition of the centrality of fundraising as an issue for the organization, I'm curious to know what you think is the reason, or what are the barriers to this having been addressed effectively before, and particularly I have in mind to ask all of the candidates whether they believe that, like a plant, an organization is fed through its roots, and if that is the case, do they believe that there has been a withering of the grassroots of this organization in the form of the local chapters and special interest affiliates, and if there has been such a withering, what they plan to do as specifically as they can possibly say to revitalize the organization on the local chapter level.
Okay, so let me see if I can cut that question down a little bit. Would this be a paraphrase of what you just said? Has the organization been withering, and if it has, what are we going to do about it? In the context of fundraising. And the grassroots, in the context of the grassroots. Okay. Everybody ready for that? Okay, it's down to you.
Okay, this is Pat speaking. And to start with, I would ask everyone in this room to come up with an idea of what they would propose if this question was proposed to them.
This is Paul. It'll sound like a broken record, but once again, we are family. So any ideas that everyone can bring forward to help us, you know, grow our treasury, I don't necessarily think we're withering away. Yes, we've had some troubles, but every organization's had their troubles. It's just a matter of watering our plants again and let us grow. Thank you.
One thing that I have observed during my time in CCB is that we have a lot of members who lack confidence. They feel that they don't have sufficient skills to contribute, and they're intimidated by ideas like fundraising and leadership and scary stuff like that. And that's natural. Believe me, if you were to look at a lot of us that are up here now and look at where we were 20 years ago in terms of our skill sets, they wouldn't be what they are now. And so I think that a real critical element here is watering the roots and fertilizing the roots. And for me, that means leadership training. I think that beyond our responsibility to do business at this convention, I think the top priority of this convention should be leadership training. And that's the key, is developing our people.
Certainly, Mrs. Gale, I echo all of that. I think tonight we're going to have an interesting chance to see how we take on a serious problem as a group. We have the matter of the convention and its evolution or change or whatever coming up. And that has been a major source of not only difficulties, but also of new members. And it's great to be able to invite prospects and people to things that they can relate to. Maybe they're not ready to take on the full-fledged leadership role, but they might be very good at contacting people in their computer classes at college or wherever they are, or at the senior center. We've got it on both ends. So yeah, they need to see that this organization is working for the people that are in it, and that those people have something that would appeal to them. And there's many, many wonderful possibilities for these, of all of us working together, and always a team. We'll never make it, there's just no I in team either. So that's something that we really have to remember and honor and acknowledge each other for the work that they have done and are doing.
One thing that I think we can do is we really need to improve find some better ways that we can share information out from CCB and to get information from chapters and have everyone. We can learn a lot from various chapters and what they're doing. And I think it just needs to be a two-way street. So I would encourage having more frequent president's calls. I miss the old president's dinners when chapters could share what they were up to, what they were working on. I thought it was very valuable, and I wish we could come up with a mechanism to allow chapters to share information. Thank you.
I see us decreasing in membership. I think part of that is due to natural circumstances, unfortunately. But what we need to do is first get the word out to better bring in people. And that can be done on the local level first. And if the local chapters would have more than just a business type meeting, having speakers, having extra social activities, encouraging people to come, participate, be involved, find out that the CCB is a great, fun organization to belong to, and one that is worthy of being of belonging to, that would help. And then bring that on up into the state level. But bring in from the outside in, bring from the local chapters and the local people, and bring them into the main fold.
I'm married to the man sitting next to me. I understood his question perfectly. One of my weakest, frankly, the things that I am weakest in is my lack of knowledge of many of our affiliates, especially those in Southern California. And I proposed in my candidate statement that I would make sure that I visited every chapter, even if virtually, even if by phone. And I think the technology is now available so that I can do that. We're going to try that first, for sure. But I want to go back to Peter's notion of the two-way street. I think we could share in fundraising efforts where the state could support the chapter, chapters support the state, and we share the funds. We share the profits. I think more of that kind of multi-level effort would be excellent, and it will begin with increasing communications both directions. And I do think that that is the way you revitalize the plants. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go for a last question. You've only got about 20 to choose from.
Okay. This is Gene. I would like to know, what is your knowledge and experience in operating a nonprofit corporation such as the CCB?
Okay, that's a simple question. Not an easy answer. We'll start right next to me on my right with Charlene.
As far as operating a nonprofit organization, especially in an official manner, I've been a member of CCB, as I said, since 1983. I know about things that need to be done, but I've also operated a business. My first husband had a photography business, and I know what a business needs and how to operate a business. And some of that also applies to a nonprofit.
I worked at a college for 30 years, and you know, my college was pretty nonprofit, and I dealt with every aspect from budget to fundraising to interviewing, hiring, to all kinds of administrative issues. I was faculty senate president for several years. But you know what, Gene? If I knew more about running nonprofits, I'd have been doing it by now. I don't know that much. I wish I knew more. All I can say is I'll do my best.
This is Pat Bogart speaking again. When I took over as president of the San Diego Braille Club, we had lost our nonprofit status, or they had. And it took quite a bit of work to get that back. And applying to the state, they said, no, somebody now has a similar name, a name that's close to yours, so they come first, even though you've had it since 1927, but it took me going to a senator to get that turned around. So we're back on our feet again, and we do fundraising and keep a tight ship on the money, and I really enjoy what I'm doing.
This is Paul. As far as running nonprofit, you know, I was president of a local chapter. I wouldn't say that compares to CCB, the state organization, because this is much larger. But I do have experience in business, which a lot of that does, you know, kind of correspond and communicate. You know, I just recently opened my BEP location 2.5 weeks ago. And so I am definitely someone that has a lot of business experience and do know some laws that regard to nonprofits and things like that to help this board out. Thank you.
I will tell you straight out that I do not have professional experience in nonprofit management. I do have considerable experience as a worker here in CCB, even for a brief time as an employee. Also, I consider myself a student of nonprofit management. I desire very strongly to learn more about all aspects of nonprofit work, from fundraising to board responsibilities to organizational governance to all of the rest. I think also what's more importantly is that most of us in CCB from top to bottom are not experts or experienced in nonprofit management, and that's why I care so much about leadership training, because we all need to go in that direction.
I'll second Paul's statement. The more development, the better. One thing that I, never having managed nonprofit, a couple of times it was supposed to be profitable, and there was a sign on the wall that said, this is a nonprofit organization. We didn't intend it to be that way, but that's how it turned out. But in the serious side, this is a marvelous opportunity to grow and learn, all of us. One thing I do have, that have after 40-some years in state service, is I do speak fluent bureaucrat. And that can come in very handy at times. And congratulations on reestablishing a nonprofit. That's amazing. That is tremendous. And we will look forward to hearing how you went about doing that without going crazy in the process. So anyway, it's a great group of people to work with. And we've got so much we can do. Let's just convince ourselves of that. And we'll get back to believe and achieve. That's how it's going to work. And all of us together.
This is Peter, and I've had some experience with nonprofits. I'm currently the treasurer of my church that I belong to, and they're a very well-run nonprofit organization. And basically, I also have experience working. For a number of years, I worked for my stepfather, who ran an auto parts store, and I'm familiar with the runnings of a profitable business. And one thing that we can do, if we don't have the knowledge, we need to reach out and ask questions of our accountants, talk to legal people, from our auditors, because we all. And we just need to reach out and get more people in finding out information regarding how we can better run the California Council of the Blind. Thank you.
So I want to thank Matthias for running our mic. Let's hear it for him. I want to thank all of you, both those of you who did get your questions asked and those of you who had great questions, but we just didn't have time for them. And I want to thank our candidates for their thoughtful responses to them and for being willing to give you their time and step up to the plate to run for office in this organization. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you shortly in general session.